Okay, so we're on Daf Nunvav tonight. Let's go over the Mishnah we did on Nundalit days, and we'll go to Nunvav. Okay, Nundalit 54b in the Mishnah. We're going over the Mishnah on page 108, and then we'll go forward. Okay, so I'm just repeating. The Mishnah says, Alpha Pishamru Betula Govah Matayim Amanamana. Even though Chazal teach us that the woman marries and she's a Betula, so for Ikar Ketubah, we know there's an Ikar Ketubah and a Tosefa Ketubah, the basic amount. And an additional amount the husband can add on. So Betula gets 200 zuz and the amana gets 100 zuz. And I mentioned that, you know, Rav Shaffer had said that, again, the 100 zuz is not half the 200 zuz. It sounds almost like a riddle, but the 200 zuz is using Kesef Tzuri and the 100 zuz is using Kesef Medina. Kesef Medina is worth 1/8 of the Kesef Tzuri. So 1/2 the amount, 1/8 is 1/16 the amount. In Ratzala Hosif, but if the husband wants to add an additional amount, even if he wants, amana is 100 zuz. If he wants to add 100 times 100 zuz, which would be 10,000 zuz, you know, Yosef. He says, if the woman is widowed or divorced, whether it's after the irisin or after the nisuin, according to the Tanakhama, she cashes in everything, whether it's from the Erusin or Nisuin. He says, Rabbi Lazar ben Azari Omer, when Nisuin go about a call. According to the Tanah, Rabbi Lazar ben Azari, who we're going to speak about a little bit more in today's daf, it was after Nisuin that she gets the whole enchilada. But he says, Amina Erusin, but Tula go about time, Amana Mana. But if it's after Erusin, means after Erusin, the husband has different thoughts or he dies. She only collects the mana or matayim, whether she's an amana or a betula. Because the Tosefa Ketubah was given in contemplation of marriage, he wanted to enhance the affection, you know, with the marriage. And since no marriage, no Tosefa Ketubah, according to Rabbi Blas ben Azaria. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Ratzal Kotev Lebetula Shtar Shamatayim, Bikotevet Kabatim Chamana, Ulamana Mana, Bikotevet Kabatim Chacham Yishim Zuz. So there's a different halacha. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that the woman can waive part of the payment. In other words, they write up the ksuba, and then the woman will discuss in today's Gemara, will acknowledge receipt of partial payment, even though she's not getting the partial payment. So it could say 200 zuz, and she'll say, I acknowledge receipt of 100. Or he's writing 100, she'll acknowledge receipt of 50 zuz. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ramir says, whoever reduces the amount of a betula or an almana, that constitutes his bila later on will be a bila zanah. So we'll come see in the Gemara that even if he sort of like tries to make the stipulation that it's less, even though it's not legally binding, still according to Blas and Azaria, there's a corollary to that, because she doesn't have smicha status. We'll see in the Gemara, she doesn't feel confident she'll get the money. Okay, any questions, comments to us we did on the Mishnah? Okay, let's go to Nunvav Mad Aleph again. I'll pick up where we left off last night. And we left off last night around 15 lines down with the two dots, but it came out in the first part of the Gemara that Allah follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. That's the basic idea. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if it's after Erusin, she only collects the mana matayim. It's only after Nisuin she gets the whole enchilada. So, by Ravin, nichnas l'chup of an on nivel lo mahu. So again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, let's say she goes to the chuppah, but they don't have intimate relations, and at that point he either divorces her or dies. Says mahu. So does she, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, does she now get everything or not? So on the one hand, she went through chuppah, but she didn't have bia with him. He says, Mahu, chipat chuppah kona or chipat bia kona. So is it the affection that's attendant with the chuppah? Is that what seals the deal according to the Blas of Azaria, or is it the bia? So it's the chuppah, she's got it, the bia not. So Tashmas, the Gemara tries to bring a proof from the following braisa. The Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following braisa. Now this braisa is elaborating on that which we learned from the Mishnah. The Blas of Azaria says that she, you know, she only gets the whole amount. He has to be suing. He only wrote the additional amount, Tosefet, based on the chiba la rishon, on the affection that would be engendered for the first night. So those are the words of the braisa. That's the end of the braisa. So we'll assume that he's talking about the affection that, you know, is attendant with having a chuppah. So then I said, lie the Rishon. The first night is chuppah. There's only one chuppah, and then that's it. So that makes sense. Eliyamri chibat biyakona. If we say it's that he wanted to enhance the affection when he has, you know, conjugal relations with his wife, biyabala the Rishon itta mikabe elaklaita. So it's be only the first night and not later on. In other words, why would the Tana say lie the Rishon? In other words, if he's giving this money to Sefik Tuba, he wants her to have like affection, you know, for the chuppah. That's a you know, one point in time. If it's bia, that's an ongoing, you know, sort of activity. So again, so we're trying to distill what is Rav Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Is it the chuppah or is it the bia? So the Gemara thinks it must be the chuppah because it says la'ad rishon bia l'may chuppah. So you want to see the pshat in the brisa is the chuppah. So that's the answer. But chuppah la'ila ita b'mam leita. You mean is chuppah only at night? The chuppah is not during the day. It says chuppah elav laila rishon, at night. So is chuppah only at night and not during the day? So the Gemara says, so how could it be chuppah if it refers to laila? But the Gemara says, what's the alternative shot? Bia b'laila ita b'mam leita is bia only at night, not during the day. I'm a rabba. I'm going to have to say it wrong in a little while in the Gemara. I'm a rabba. In other words, he says that Klal Yisrael Kedoshim, they only have relations with the wives at night. But Rabba says, I'm a rabba. If the house is totally dark, so he says, Mutar, you're allowed to have relations with your wife if the house is totally dark. And so even the Biyam, there's a way it doesn't have to necessarily be at night. So again, we're having difficulties plugging in either pshat into the brisa, which is, you know, terse. So the Gemara says halakasha. So in terms of bia, it would not be difficult because orachara kamashvalan to be a belayla. In other words, the Tana would be teaching me like derecheres in the sense of the usual manner of doing things. The bia is generally done at night, so that would make sense if the pshat is bia is a layla because generally it's done at night. And the chuppah kasha. So with chuppah, that's difficult because there's belayla rishon. So chuppah nami lakasha came in the stam chuppah labia kaima since chuppah is for the purpose of leading to bia, or achara kamashvalan to belayla boy. So he's teaching me that chuppah normally is done at night. Is what do we think? So let's just do a few more lines, then I'll pause, and we'll digest. I'll take some things. Wait, three more lines. We'll get to it. So the Gemara thinks the pshat in the brisa is that it's talking about chuppah. So chuppah belayla, it makes sense. Generally, chuppah the Gemara thinks is at night, and we'll discuss about chuppah being at night or during the day. So by Rav Ashi, now, assuming that chuppah is what makes the kinyan, what if, or you know, the tosefet suba? So let's say the woman goes to the chuppah and then she becomes a nida. You have a chuppah's nida, so he can't have relations with her. Mahu in tipsilomar chuppah kona says like he wants to enhance the affection that they both feel under the chuppah. This is chuppah to chazi labia. Is it only a chuppah that's ra'ui for bia? He says, about chuppah lo chazi labia lao, it's not ru labia, maybe not. He says, oh, dilma lo shtar, maybe no distinction. So take it, the Gemara leaves that, you know, in the thing. So let me talk for a few more minutes, and we'll open up the floor for questions. Okay, sure. I thought I was going slow, but all right. Yeah, all right, one second. All right, let's take a look. All right, let's take a look. Now, all right, I'll remind you something after the shiur tonight that I want to mention to you. Okay, now he says Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that the Gemara seemingly indicates that in time of Chazal, the chuppah ceremony was held at night. The Sharm and Sfin Bal Lacha also cites the Kinyan of the Ba, who wrote that it's correct to have the chuppah at night. Sharm and Sfin Bal Lacha cites our Gemara as well as the Tosfos and Yoma as proof of that position. In other words, from here it sounds like the chuppah should lead to like the bian. You don't want to have it like too far away. That's what it sounds like. Rekiva Eger, on the other hand, wrote that the custom in some communities to lay the chuppah until nighttime has no source in the writings of the earlier or later halachic authorities. He then mentions that Shuvas Re'im rules that a get that is given at night is invalid, and since the Torah equates marriage and divorce, it is possible that Kiddushin should also not be held at night. He concludes that one should make an effort to comply with the Kinyan of Re'im, and Kiddushin should be done during the day, but if there is a compelling need, Kiddushin may be held at night, since most posts can maintain that even a get may deliver at night. This is getting a little dicey. So he wants to say Kiddushin should be during the day, but then the chuppah we said maybe should be at night. Some places, you know, that's the way it works out. You come there, and well, not the Kiddushin, the Kiddushin and the chuppah are going to be the same time, but it usually sometimes is just about like nightfall. Now, most poskim rule that there is no difference whether the chuppah is held during the day or at night, and Aruch HaShulchan writes that many communities have the custom to hold the chuppah specifically at night. Rav Moshe Shturmbach and Shuvas Van Hagel suggest the reason is that stars are visible at night, and that is considered a good omen, a siman tov for the marriage. Pischei Tshuva writes that some communities had the custom to hold the chuppah between Mincha and Maariv, and they would begin the meal immediately. Sometime later, the guests would arrive, and they would recite Birchas Hamazon and Shevar Brachot. Shuvas Van Hagel notes that even though majority of poskim allow the chuppah to be held at night, the custom in Yerushalayim is for kedushin to be done during the day rather than at night. All right, now, okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll focus. So we had in the Mishnah, we had the opinion of the Tana Rav Blasa ben Azariah, and yesterday's more we learned that the halacha follows Rav Blasa ben Azariah. Rav Blasa ben Azariah holds that when it comes to Tosefet Ketuba, she only cashes in after the Nisuin. In other words, before the Nisuin, if she's widowed or divorced, no Tosefet Ketuba. Once she goes to Nisuin, she gets Tosefet Ketuba. Then the Gemara had a question. When we say after Nisuin, what's the key element? And we said, because we're... And we spoke about this last, or we're going to, did we do it a little last night about projecting? We spoke about it last night. So projecting into his thinking. So the person wants to increase like the affection that the wife feels for him and everything like that. And that's why he's got like the, it's like the hobby, like a big diamond ring. So he's got the Tosefet Ketubah. So is his focus that he wants her to feel like affectionate towards him at the Chuppah or to feel affectionate towards him at Bia? So we had a Braisa. From the Braisa, it sounded like, the chuppah. That's the way the Gemara assumes the chuppah is generally at night. That's where the Gemara takes it. A chuppah is generally done at night, and that's the pshat, and it generally feels that way. Then we said, let's say she's a nida at the chuppah. Chuppah's nida, which is a difficult situation. But if it's chuppah's nida, so then if she goes for the chuppah, would that do it? Or did he, his intent is, he wants a chuppah like a lead to bia. So then I assume if according to one side, she gets the cash, but according to the other side, I assume it would be after he has Bia, then it's nothing more discussed. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Right. Yeah, but isn't there a lifetime? Isn't there a lifetime together? Is this a one-shot deal? Is going to... What's his intent? In other words, he wants her to have, love him, you know, to have like a whole loving relationship. Say again, repeat. I don't know. All right. Well, Aramosh, what do you got for me?
No, I was going to say, in today's day and age, most of the chuppahs being at night, the yichid room doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be beer there. There's Ada standing outside. Doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be beer in the yichid room.
No. In other words, we speak about chuppah. So chuppah is either that they're under the chuppah, or a chuppah could refer to the yichud room. Also, could be the chuppah. In other words, that which Chazal referred to as chuppah. In other words, it's the yichud. But bia is bia. So bia they're not having in the catering hall, presumably. Anyway,
that's what you're presuming. I also saw. I think it was a shayla if you can get married on Shiva Asim at night.
There's a shuva from Ramosha. He was asked.
Old shuva then. He was makel. He says
if it's on a Motzei Shabbos, so can the girl get married at night, that Saturday night of Motzei Shabbos with Shiva Asim at Tamuz? So Ramosha said, you know, if it's a tight situation, difficult situation, I think he gave
it. Was makel.
All right. So I think the way the tshuva went, that it worked out that way, was the Motzei Shabbos, I think. Let me try to remember. The way I remember this tshuva was the Saturday night. I don't know if it was Saturday night because people like to get married Saturday night. I don't remember. Okay, now let me do a little bit more from the Daf Digest, not the Daf Digest. Okay, one second. Okay, this is now from the Ala Daf by Reb Zeb Dickstein. Okay, before it was the Daf Digest. Okay, so we mentioned about now Rav Ashi Anun Vav consists with a bride who was in need at the time. The chuppah is entitled to Tosefet Ketubah. We went through this already. Now the Rambam rules based on this Gemara that if the bride is in need at the time of the chuppah does not take effect, and she's considered as an arusa with regard to all halachot, i.e., if she dies before bia is performed, her husband does not inherit her, and he's a kohen, he may not come into contact with her corpse. So, according to the Rambam, if she's still considered to be an arusa if it's chuppah nida, that's the way the Rambam is saying it. Now, the Rosh disagrees and maintains that the Gemara's query regarding chuppah nida. I'm trying to go slower, but if you come in person, it'll be easier. The Rosh disagrees and maintains that the Gemara's query regarding chuppah nida, chuppah performed with nida, pertains only to the law of Tosefet Ketubah. But is it possible that the husband only pledges the supplemental ksuba at the time of the chuppah ruy labiyim? However, regarding all the laws, the chuppah nida is valid and affects nisuin. In other words, here the Gemara, according to one side, assuming is that she doesn't cash in on Tosefet Ketubah until after the labiyim. So if it's chuppah nida or not, according to one side. So what does that mean? So if it's chuppah nida, so does it mean chuppah nida, she's not in the sue at all, which is the way the Rambam seems to take it? Or is it just for this one din, she's not in the sue, but otherwise for other dinim, she's in the sue? So the Ran points out that the permissibility of performing a chuppah nida depends on the halachic definition of chuppah and nisuin. The Rambam indicates the act of yichud, seclusion of the bride and groom for the purpose of nisuin, affects the nisuin and chuppah. Accordingly, the Rambam says the nisuin may not be performed with a nida. It's forbidden for a groom to seclude himself with his bride if she's a nida. So it sounds a little bit strange maybe to the ear, but if it's a chuppah nida, so the two of them cannot stay alone together. In other words, and they have to sleep separate places, and she's got women with her and he's got men with her, and they can't be alone. Now the Ran suggests that nisun is affected when the bride enters the groom's home for the purpose of marriage, and they need not be secluded in a room. According to other authorities, nisun is affected when the couple stands together under a canopy, a chuppah, or when the groom spreads his talus over the bride, as done in communities of German descent. According to these authorities, nisun can be performed even if the bride is an ida. The Rama writes that the custom is to perform nisun even if the bride is an ida. However, the groom and bride do not sleep alone in the same room while she's an ida, as discussed above. So the issue becomes, like, again, so if she's an ida and you're going forward and you're doing a chuppah nida, so, you know, are they fully married or are they not married for all dinim? So the Rosh says they're fully married, but for all dinim, according to the Rosh. So if, let's say, God forbid, she would die, then he's a Kohen, he could go to her Levaya, but just for the Tosefet Ketubah, it does not click in. All right. What? Right. Yes, so he doesn't touch her. He just, there's different questions that are asked. That's something that comes up in halacha. But one answer is he just puts the ring over the finger and it slides down without touching the finger. Without touching the finger. What's up? The Mishnah. Okay, go ahead. Wait, which ratio? Which line? And the second line. The Amana Mana. Okay. I'm moving on. Okay. That's it. Everybody good? Okay. Let's move on in the Gemara slowly. Now. All right. So, all right. So, okay. So, we're at the two dots. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ratzak Katev, the Batula Kule. So, according to the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda, there's a way that the sort of the chasen to kind of game the system a little bit. In other words, he could write up a ksuba for 200 zuz, and he asks his bride to acknowledge receipt of 100 zuz, even though she got nothing. And then he's complied with the halakha, but, you know, in essence, she's, you know, waived 100 zuz. And then according to Blas Ben Azaria, anything like that would be lizinus. Okay, everybody has to mute themselves. Let me just help everybody out. According to Rabbi Meir, right? According to Rabbi Meir, who did I say? Yeah, according to Rabbi Meir, right? Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Meir Ratzak Ketev L'Chalal B'Kulei. The Savar Rabbi Yehuda the Kofin Shovar. So from this Mishnah, it sounds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda entertains this Makloka the Gemara, whether if a Lova pays off part of the debt, So what's the proper procedure? Should the Malva write a receipt, and then the Lova will be in a situation where it's the Lova's responsibility to guard the receipt. That's one possibility. Or we'll see there's another possibility that they'll draft new documents. So if the debt was $1,000, the Lova paid $500, we'll draft a new document for $500 and not put the onus on the Lova. So do we write a shovar or not? So from this Mishnah, from our Mishnah, so here the wife is like the Balkov. She's got the ksuba, but she and the debtor would be the husband. But she's writing according to the Mishnah. She writes it's about mimcha meizuz or mana. I receive you 100 zuz, right? In other words, she'll say I acknowledge receive 100 zuz from you. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that we write a shofar, we write a receipt. But we learn the Mishnah Masechet Bava Batra. Yishapar mixat chovo. If a debtor paid off part of the debt, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says they should issue new documents. In other words, so as I said in my example, if the original debt was $1,000 and Lova pays off $500, so we'll take the original star, rip it up, and we'll write a new star that Reuven lent him in $500, because now that's the current balance. Now Rashi takes it that Rabbi Yehuda, according to the first lashon, the Gemara eventually rejects this in Bava Batra, but according to the initial lashon of the Gemara over there, when they write the new document will have a new date on it. So the downside for the Malva would be that he doesn't have the shibud on Lekuchot at the earlier date. If you're a Malva, you want to have an earlier date. In other words, if I did a loan in September, I don't want to have a date December. In other words, I might have, you know, the month, so the right, the Lova may have sold property, so you want to have the earlier date. But the Gemara ends up saying that even Rabbi Yehuda says we'll put the earlier date in the new document, so that's not the way the Gemara will go, but we'll see in a minute. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yichtov Lo Shovar. The Tana Rabbi Yossi says, no, we'll write a receipt. Now, if you look at the Rashi, he says at the third white line in Rashi upstairs, Yachalif, Yichtov Shtar Acher, Yichov HaNishar, you write a new document like the existing debt, Bikra Risho, rip up the first one, Yichtov Shovar Laharat Koach Alova, we don't write a receipt, which will impair the rights to Lova, she's Sarech HaShmor Shavaro Ben Achbarim. He's going to now, has the onus of guarding the receipt from the mice that could destroy it. In other words, so we'll see back in the Gemara. Now, according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, we're going to write the shovar, and it's true that Lova may lose the shovar, but that's good because we'll put a fire under the Lova to pay back the debt. In other words, he'll want to wrap up the whole, you know, situation, and that's a good thing that we'll put a fire under the Lova. So, but the bottom line is that here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that she's going to write a receipt because that's what the Mishnah said. And in the Mishnah over there, he says, we don't want a receipt, we write new documents. So how do we reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah over Masechet Bava Batra? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shoshobar Tami Tochas. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, our Mishnah is talking about a different type of shovar. Our Mishnah is that in the ksuba, the original document, there's going to be verbiage that say that the Edom say that she acknowledged in our presence that she had received, you know, X number of dollars. So the same document will have the deck and will have the acknowledgement. So then there's no chashash of losing the document. So then even the Tana Rabbi Yehuda will agree in those circumstances that we could write a shovar. Abai says we can even say that that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. It's talking about writing a separate shovar, a separate receipt. But here, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds normally don't write receipts, here he's saying we will write a receipt. Why? Over there in the Mishnah Masechet Bava Batra, so the debtor definitely paid up some of the debt. Dilma Mirkas Tavarta, so maybe he's going to lose the receipt. Umapik Le Nishtara, and then the Malva will be Motzi the Sharkov, and he's got the Sharkov, you owe me $1,000. Bahadur Gabi is in the Akhrina, and then he'll say, here's my star, you owe me $1,000, I don't know anything about payment, you don't have the receipt, where's the receipt? You don't have the receipt, you know, Gamarnu. Acha Badi Yaivla. Here, did he give her anything? It was the husband and wife. Did he give her money? She was just saying words like to make him happy. I acknowledge receipt of, you know, 100 zuz, even though she never got 100 zuz. Inatre, natre. So here, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, if, and she's going to write a receipt. So I don't care if he loses it. So if he keeps an eye on it, fine. Ilon atrei, yudasin nafshei. In other words, I'm not going to lose any sleep if the husband doesn't keep the receipt and loses it. So he never paid anything anyway. So it's no harm, no foul. Okay, so that's the way, two ways to reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah Masechet Bava Batra. So the Gemara says, B'shlema Abaye lo amar k'Rav Yirmiya. So I understand Abaye, who says that, like the last explanation, that I'm not worried about it because he never paid any money. He doesn't say Rav Yirmiya, lo k'tani shavur tami kocha. Rav Yirmiya's pshat that he's writing the acknowledgement in the ksuv itself. It's interesting, but there's no language in the Mishnah that supports that. So it's like too much out of whole cloth. It's an idea, but it's like not anywhere connected to what the Mishnah says. Why does Rabbi Yirmiya not explain the Mishnah like Abai says? It's like, you know, it's a very different taste, and there we wouldn't care about it. So Zerish Shovar the Hacha to Shovar the Alma. So Rabbi Yirmiya would say that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda will hold that we have one universal rule concerning Shovarim, receipts. And therefore, the Chachamim weren't machalik. They said, we don't write a shovar in any case. For Rabbi Yehuda, we never write a shovar under any circumstance, even though the facts may change in an unusual case like this case, but we never write a shovar. That's why he doesn't want to explain it that way. Okay. And who said questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Right. Right. Correct. So, in other words, normally when you write a receipt, it's in a separate document. So if it's going to be inside that document, you'd expect the Mishnah to say something like that. But the Mishnah doesn't say anything. It just says, that doesn't sound like it's in the Yuxuba. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Tama de Katvale. So the Gemara says, the reason that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, so it works because she writes out the document. But it sounds like if she would make an oral acknowledgement of payment, then that would not be something that's acceptable. Now, the Gemara gets into the topic, which we'll discuss further in a few minutes, of Matna Mashik to the Torah, making a Tanai to override Dinim in the Torah. So the Gemara takes it that if it's a written receipt, so we don't think it's matna mashik to the Torah. It looks, even though she didn't get any money, but it looks on the surface that it's on the up and up. But if, like, she just says this and she just says, I received it, it looks more like a sham and trying to uproot something in the Torah. So, Abal Pelo, Amai, Devar Shemamonhu. So why should an oral statement not be good? In other words, it's a davar shemamon. It's something that relates to money. We see that the Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though a person can't be matna mashik with the Torah, I can't make a stipulation to override a din in the Torah. But if the stipulation relates to my monetary rights, then I could. If the Torah gives me, suppose I get X number of dollars, and I say, you know, afal pichein, I'm going to waive it or something like that. So I'm overriding what the Torah says, but I'm overriding a right the Torah gives me. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Omer Isha, Harei Mukdesh Shali Amanacha, In Lichalai, Sher Ksefona, Harei Zim Mukdesh, It's Noba, Tatel, Devar Meir. Remain reviewed or bar plucked this throughout Shas, like they were in our Mishnah, and we have it here as well in this Braisa. So if a man says to a woman, you're Mukdesh to me on condition that you have no right to claim against me, Sher Ksefona. So Sher Ksefona, is that what the Torah specifically says? A woman is entitled to. Sheikh Sifa'ona means the food, the clothing, and conjugal rights. So if he says, you're Mekdesh to me on condition that you don't have any rights to Sheikh Sifa'ona, so Tanakama holds, she's Mekdesh. In other words, we're going to take out our pen and we're going to cross out the part of the sentence. Harei Mekdesh Li. After Harei Mekdesh Li, we take our pen and we almanac. We take out the whole almanac. We're taking out the almanac. Because you might not much the Torah, and we're going to leave the original statement. You're Mekudesh to me, in the plane, according to Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, B'davar Shabamamon, Tano Kriyam. Rav Yehuda says, if the items he wants to delete relate to Mamon, so then the Tanai is a valid Tanai. So here, the first two, She'er, food, and Ksut, is monetary rights. The own is a different piece. But the first two rights would survive it. So the person is free to be matnil mashik to the Torah. If the Torah, again, what I said before, if the Torah gives me a monetary right, and then I want to waive that monetary right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I could waive the monetary right. So here, why is it, it sounds like for a Mishnah, that the woman cannot waive a partial payment of the ksuba from, orally, and we said that, like, the oral waiver looks like a sham, looks like she's ma'namash Torah, but the Tan Rabbi Yehuda was like, could be ma'namash Torah if it's related to a monetary right. So the Gemara says, sub Rabbi Yehuda ksuba d'rabbanan. So the says the so the Gemara says that Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ksuba is not mina Torah. Should some machlok at tanaim. Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds that ksuba is the rabbanan. But chachamim asu chizuk zufrim yoter mishal Torah. That sometimes chachamim make their dinim more stringent than the Torah dinim. In other words, because people will have a tendency to be lax with things that they know are the rabbanan. So the chachamim are mechazik. They're more stringent than that which is in the Torah. So even though in a Torah level you could waive it, here you can't waive it. So there's no way the woman can say orally. Okay, that's the working shot. So the Gemara says, let me just go another 10 lines and then we'll pause, okay? So 3 lines on the bottom. So is that true? So our working premise is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the underlying obligation is an obligation in a Torah, so a bit of midrabanan rather, if the underlying obligation is an obligation midrabanan, so chachamim are more stringent with the drabanans, and there you can't wave it away. So the Gemara says, is that true? He says hare payro drabanan. So the right of usufruct, which is the husband's right to the payro of nechsemi lug. So the chachamim were mitakein, the husband gets the payro in return for which he has to redeem the wife from captivity. But that's the drabanan. That's all in the drabanan that he gets the payro. Well, Abdulu Rabbanan Chizik, but the Chachamim didn't make Chizik with this, as we'll see shortly. We learn the Mishnah later on in our Masechta about Pei Gimel, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Lamahu Achel Pei Pei wrote. Now, this is talking about where, let's say, he wrote that he says, Din Dvarim Eli Benechsech Pei Rotein. I don't have any claim against your property or your Pei Rot. In other words, the husband is waiving his rights to the Pei Rot. So, according to the Chachamim, that he waived Pei Rot history. But according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, Liolamu Achel Peyrei Peyrot is Peyrei Peyrot. In other words, the Peyrot are, let's say, what you harvest. And then, let's say the things that come from there. Let's say I take those Peyrot and now I sell them. And then with that money, I buy a piece of property. And that property produces Peyrot. That's Peyrei Peyrot. That's Peyrei, the fruit of the fruit. In other words, like the derivative of Peyrot. So he says, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Liolamu Achel Peyrei Peyrot, even if he waves off the right to pay road, he doesn't wave off the right to pay road. So he says, I have no right to your property, no right to your pay road, no right to the pay road forever. And then turn page on the top line on Nunbabam base, 56B, the top line. He says, and the Gemara later on establishes in discussion, which Belinetta will have later on Pei Gimel, which is 1 week from tonight. So tonight is Wednesday, next Wednesday night. He says, my kotev, what does the Tana mean when he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he has to write it out, Omer, that he has to make the statement. So he's making an oral statement that I waive off my rights to the payroad and everything. So here, it's the right to payroad is a din drabanan. And we said that when it comes to din drabanan, we have more chizuk than Torah. And we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can't, if it's a din de rabbanan, like suba, so I can't, have acknowledges or, I can't waive anything with that. So here also, how come over here, he says he can waive the right to payroll. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, l'chol yesh ksuba, below l'chol yesh payroll. The emes is, everybody has a ksuba. Every marriage has a ksuba. Not every woman comes in with property that yields payroll. Milta shikha abdu rabbanan chizuk. So, if it's something which is common, then the chamim did chizuk to strengthen up their dinim. Milfalo shchichalo abduba rabbanu chizuk. But if it's something that's uncommon and payroad is uncommon, the chamim weren't machazik it more than the Torah requires, and meila he could still waive it. Okay, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, if it's a monetary right, you can waive it even if it's in doraisa. Now, one last case. We'll go to the two dots, then we'll pause. We'll try to review and we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts. Now, we're still working with the same premise that if it's a din to Rabbanan, so the Chamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have the Chamim made more chizuk with the Brahmin, the Tirmishal Torah. Chamarim are, people who guide the donkeys, and they're bringing produce from one place to another. So it's very common they have the donkey drivers, and they're bringing the tshuva with the donkeys to sell. And the chamim weren't mechazek, they're dinim. We learn in the Mishnah, we had this before, but with Daf Yomi you have everything eventually. He says, if the donkey drivers enter the city, and these donkey drivers are Amei Ha'aretz, the Amei Ha'aretz are, you know, not so reliable in terms of taking out the masrot. And you have Reuben and Shimon on the donkey driver. Reuben has his donkey with his tefuah. Shimon has his donkey with his tefuah. And Reuben says, "Kili chadash, my tefuah is the new tefuah, which isn't as good as the old tefuah. My friend's tefuah is the old tefuah, which is better. Mine, the masrot have not been taken from. His, that has been taken from. So according to the Tanakhama, he's not believed. We don't believe the Amah Aretz. And the fact that he, you know, says like something which is extraneous, he says like his Tavua is Yashan, which would seem to like buttress his Ne'amanus, because he's not just saying the thing that relates to Kashrut, he says his is Yashan, but that not, we don't believe him anyway. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'amanim. Rabbi Yehuda says Ne'amanim. Now it comes out from the Mishnah over there. Is this a Mishnah or Brisa? It comes out, this is a Mishnah. So it comes out from the Mishnah night on the 2nd of Mai. The Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the underlying Safek would be a Din Doraisa, so Rabbi Yehuda said we can't rely on him. But here, where it's a Din Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda says we can rely on the person when he says that the mine aren't good, but his are good. Okay? So the question is, here we have a Din Rabbanan. Now, Demai, the fact that I'm taking Demai is a Din Rabbanan. In other words, it means that mostly all the Amei Ha'aretz would take Truma. Most of the Amei Ha'aretz would take Masrot. But a Miyud Aminsa, a quantifiable or a significant minority, would not take Masrot. So on a Din Torah, you're okay, because Rogue take it, and I'm kind of called Rogue. But the Chamim said that when you purchase Tavua from the Amah Aretz, it's Demai, and we on a bottom level are saying you have to take Masrot again. You have to take Masrot again. We had this last night also with Demai. So here we have a case where we have a Din Rabbanan. And according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if it's an underlying Din Doraisa, then we won't believe him. But if it's Din Rabbanan, we will believe him. So, but we said Rabbi Yehuda says if it's the Rabbanan, we're going to do Chizuk Zebraim. The Chamim will strengthen the Din of the Rabbanan more than the Shul Torah. So, how do we reconcile this? So the Gemara says Amar Abaye, Vada Zebraim Av Rabbanan Chizuk. If they made a Takana, and it's just based on a Din that's a Vada, in other words, it's not based on any Sveikot, then they did a Chizuk. Safek the Rabbanim, if the Din Rabbanim is based on a Safek, in other words, here it's a Safek, the Safek being we don't know whether they took Masrot or not. So there, Lo Abdu Rabbanim Chizuk, they didn't strengthen, then there was not every Gezer was strengthened. If it was built on a Safek, we're not going to bother with it. Rav Amar, but Rav says, in a Safek, maybe they would. But here, but Demai, and it was a Din by Demai, is that on a Din Torah, even with the Sveikot, on a Din Torah, it's good. And with Muslim, let's say 80% take Masrot, 20% don't take Masrot. So on a Din Torah, I'm entitled to say follow the majority, and so they did take it. But nevertheless, the Chamim created this Din by Demai. So Demai is itself like a whole Chumrah. So Mela, in that case, they didn't do a Chizuk of the Rehim for that. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, then we got to move on. Okay, now, so the idea we hooked into. We spoke about great length, point to Tana Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yehuda rather. She writes out a receipt. And then we had a whole Shtickel Torah about how does he reconcile that with his regular din, that we don't write receipts. So the it could be one way to say here it's different, because normally you write a receipt, you get money. Here you write a receipt, you didn't give money, so we don't care if he loses it. Then the Gemara says that from the Mishnah, it sounds like Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, that she, Dafka, if she writes out that she received the money, but if she makes an oral acknowledgement that she received the money, then that would not be enforceable. That's what we think, yeah. So we said, but why is that? It's Dabar Shabamamon. Dabar Shabamamon is, you're allowed to waive it if you want. So we said, and here it's different, because it's a Din Rabbanan, and the Chamim did more Chizuk to the Rehim, Yotem Mishal Torah. So they did more Chizuk to Yotem Mishal Torah, so how come by the pay road that the husband can waive off the pay road he can even do it orally, according to the Gemara later on. So the Gemara said that when they did chizuk for davar shtiach, they did chizuk. Davar shein shtiach, they didn't do chizuk. And then the Gemara said, well, kamarimar shtiach, the people come in with their donkeys to sell grain. And yet Rabbi Yehuda, he says one didn't for the Torah, one didn't the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan din is more cooler than the Raisa, and should be chizuk, it should be more stringent. So the Gemara says that safik the brain lo abdu Rabbanan chizuk. So Abai says where the din de Rabbanan is based on a safek, they weren't mechazik it, or according to Rabbi, even if it was a safek, they would do it. But here, but demai hil, it's safek, but the safek is itself a chumrah. In other words, on following the din of the Torah, it's fine with the safek, but they still have this din of demai. Okay, who said questions, comments to us on anything we did so far? Pay repay. So nechse milug is the property that the one brings in. He, the husband, is entitled to the pay road from the nechse milug. Let's say the wife takes the pay road and she buys another piece of property with it. And now that property produces pay road. So that's the pay now. The new property is pay road. In other words, that's pay road. So in other words, what does he have to do to waive? In other words, according to the Tanakhama, if he says, I have no din with your nechasim and your pay road, and he waves away everything, the pay road, everything. When you tell Rabbi Yehuda, no, he only waved away the chasim and the pay road, but not the pay road. And he has to say, and I waive the pay road. I waive away everything. So he says you could do that orally. You could say you could waive away the pay road, even though it's an oral waiver, and that's a din de Rabbanan. And we said that by Rabbanan, he's more machmir and things. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? We're running out of time, but go ahead. Say again, repeat. So I'm not sure. This semi-log is definitely the real property with the pay road. So, and the example Rashi gives is taking the investment, putting in another piece of real estate. So I'm not sure about it, not real estate. Okay, let's take a look back further in the Gemara. Okay, now. All right, we're around 10 lines down on Nun Vavam Vez 56b, around 10 lines down. Rav Meir Omer Kol Pochei Vekuli. Now, in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Huda says that he can acknowledge receipt of 100 zuz out of 200 zuz, or, you know, 50 out of 100, and fine, they get married, and even though it's, you know, running a sort of like a, what is it in football, like a, what do they call it, an in run, whatever, like you run around, anyway, I don't know. Anyway, Anyway, so in other words, even though they're kind of getting out, the obligation, you could do it. But according to Rav Meir, if you're trying to cut back on your obligations, it's bilus nos. So Meir Meir kol poche b'kulei kol poche afilu b'tzna. So it says kol poche. So Rashi points out, he doesn't say any people doesn't get my time and a mana doesn't get a mana. It's bilus nos. He says kol poche. Whoever reduces, afilu b'tzna. Even if he makes a stipulation which is not a legally binding stipulation, nevertheless, it'll be bilus nos. We'll see in a minute. Al miksavar tano batel. So we see that the Tana Rav Meir holds that tonight would be batel. In other words, we had this earlier in the Gemara. Remember, Rav Meir says that if I make a tanai to override the Torah, the tanai is batel. So according to Rav Meir, we'll see Rav Meir holds the ketubah is a din deraisa. So according to Rav Meir, if he makes a stipulation attempting to override the din Torah, it's batel. But notwithstanding that, the fact that he made such a stipulation would, you know, we'll see in a minute, causes the bride to think that she's not going to get the money and would make her be those nuts. So it's not batel, but itla. So the tanai is batel and she gets the money. It came into Amar Lalaitlich, but since he said, you know, you don't get, you know, the 200 zuz, Elamana, you get 100 zuz. And he says, Lo sam chadaita. So she doesn't have smichas das, she doesn't feel like she can rely that she'll really get the 200 zuz. Bahavila bila to bila sinot. So his bia is a bia sinot. So even though legally he's obligated to 200 zuz, but since the wife doesn't know if she can have confidence that she will get 200 zuz, according to Tana Reblazar Nazar, Rameir, according to Tana Rameir, that's his bilus and bilus nus. So the question is, Vashmili Rameir da Amar Kolamana Mashiba Torah, it's no batel. It's a habit of Rabbanan, it's no kayam. So what do you mean that he'll make a tanai, but it won't be valid? But we only know that Rameir holds that if it's the tanai, matna mashiba Torah, the tanai will be batel. But it's in the Rabbanan, it'll be kayam. So what do you mean it's not effective? So Rameir, Tuba deraita. Rameir holds that the din tuba is a din Torah. It's not pluket tanaim. And Rameir holds that the din of ksuba is a din Torah. And Rameir holds that if a person attempts to make a tanai to undermine the ksuba, so the tanai is batel, but notwithstanding that, his attempt to undermine it will cause the bride to think. In other words, he says, you know, I don't know, like he says, here's your ksuba, and I'm making a stipulation that you're not going to get 200 zuz, you only get 100 zuz, or something like that. So even though his tanai is batel, not legally binding, according to the Tana Rameir, that causes the marriage to be bilas zinus. So his relations. So it means that it's a marriage, but you're not allowed to have relations with your wife without a ksuba. So his beila with her is like a bilas zinus. That's 100% correct. Yeah. Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara. Okay. I'm going to move further in the Gemara. Okay. We're at the two dots, and we're our last lap of tonight. Okay. So Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer. Now, in our Mishnah, we only learned two opinions. We learned Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but we're going to have a third opinion now in the Braisa. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, called Poki the Betulim Atayim, Lamana Mimana, Reizu Bidatsana. So according to the Tanya Meir, which we had already, if you try to reduce the amount, so it means your Bila with her is like a Bila Sinus. Fine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rasha'i. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi, who we did not have in the Mishnah, says a person is free to do this. So it means, again, so according to the Tanya Meir, if I attempt to do it, my stipulation is void, and I'm turning my bila into bila znos. According to Rabbi Yossi, the stipulation is not void, and my bila is not a bila znos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rasak Hotev Lebetul Ishtar Shal Matayim, according to that Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to see Christ Betul Ishtar Shal Matayim, Behik Hotev Lo Tvavti Mechamana, just like in our Mishnah, she'll acknowledge receive 100 zuz, and 50. Okay, so we have three opinions in the Braisa. Now, the Sava Rabbi Yossi, so we want to focus on Rabbi Yossi, who we didn't have up until now. The Sava Rabbi Yossi Rashoi, you mean the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds that a person could reduce the amount of the ksuba from, you know, 200 zuz or 100 zuz. Rumini, on this we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, you know, osing ksuba isha metaltlin. We don't designate property in a ksuba for the woman that are be metalflin, say that she can collect it from these metalflin, like blankets, clothes, or things like that. He says, because of tikkun olam, we're afraid that the metalflin will get lost or be reduced in value. Amar Rabbi Yossi, this is still part of the Braisa, b'chima tikkun ha'olam yesh b'zu v'lo ein ksubin upochtin. Because what type of tikkun olam would it be if he lists metalflin? The Talflin, they aren't quantifiable. He's not listing how much they're worth, and they reduce in value. So the Gemara, that's the end of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Tanakama Nami Enosin Kamar. That's the same thing the Tanakama said. What's the difference in the Braisa between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? They're both saying the same thing, that you can't list Metalflin in the two because not a quantifiable number. And they, let's say I say I'm giving, you know, 100 blankets, and I don't say how much the blankets are worth. And the blanks go down in value. El alav haki kamar. Is it not that what the Brice is saying is as follows? The Tanakhama is saying, that's only if he, the husband, did not accept the Akrayas, which means absolute responsibility to give her the value if it goes down. So whatever the value is, he's undertaking to give the value of that. About kibel Akrayas, if the husband accepts Akrayas, and I'm going to give you 100 blankets, and if the blankets go down in value, then I accept responsibility. Oh, sin. But after Rabbi Yossi the Maimar, and the Tana Rabbi Yossi is coming to say, what if he accepts Akrayas? What does that help me? Below Ink Subin, at the end of the day, the number is not quantifiable. He doesn't give a number how much money he's going to give to the wife, who poked him, and they do go down in value. So he says here, So I assume he means that he doesn't give the value and they're going to go down in value and it puts us in an impossible position to figure out how much money he committed himself to. Now, the Gemara says, Hashtu mahatam dum pachti chayish Rabbi Yossi. So in that Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is concerned that the value may go down. So he says that's not good. Hashtu dabadai kapaka. Here, where it's definitely giving her less value. He says that he could say you're getting less than 200 zuz. He says, look, Kolshkein, how could Tana Rabbi Yossi justify giving her less money than the 100 or 200 zuz? Rabbi Yossi is so concerned for the wife that she's getting less than what she should be getting. So Haki Hasha, I'll just do two lines, then we'll summarize, we'll come back. Haki Hasha, Haki, compare the two cases. Hatam, Lo Yada, the Tahil. Over there, she doesn't even know that she should be mochelet. In other words, she doesn't know what she's getting into. She's entering suba. Suba has, like, I'm giving metalflim. She doesn't know that she should be mochel or is mochel or anything like that. She doesn't know what her rights are. Hacha yada b'kamachlo. Here, she knows that the suba says 200 was, and notwithstanding that, with knowledge of that, she agrees to a lesser amount. Then Rabbi Yossi says, fine. He said, okay, that's it. Okay, let me just summarize again. Okay, we'll summarize again, then we'll move on. Okay, now. All right, we had a braisa. I'm going to focus on Rabbi Yossi. In the braisa, Rabbi Yossi says a husband is free to stipulate with his wife for an amount that's less than the 200 or 100 zuz. Well, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say exactly the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda says the suba has to say 200 or 100 zuz, but then she can waive like payment for some of it. Rabbi Yossi says we could stipulate together, like, dearest, you know, it's 200 zuz, but we're going to do 100 zuz because that's our agreement, and we're on the same thing. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Then we have another braisa where Rabbi Yossi says it's talking about a husband who's just going to list metalphalim, in other words, like movable objects in the ksuba, which will be what her rights to the ksuba will be. So it won't say 200 zuz. It'll say 200 blankets or something like that. It won't know about 200 blankets. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi says, how can you write a ksuba like that? There's no value there, and the value goes down. And even if he says, I'm responsible for it, we don't know what she's getting into, she's going to suffer a tremendous loss. How can you go for that? So the Gemara says, isn't that a stira? Here he says, fine, you want to have a reduced amount? I'm good for the reduced amount. There he says, how can you put these things in there with no set amount and things like that? So the Gemara says the two cases are not comparable. In our case, she knows that 200 zuz is what she's entitled to, and notwithstanding that, she chooses to waive the amount and say 100 zuz. Over there, she doesn't even know what she's getting, and then it's going down in value. How can we let a husband do something like that? That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Okay? Okay. Now, what I have to move on. We're running out of time. I can't imagine how this happened, but we're running out of time. Okay, now. Okay, let me do the last piece of Gemara. Then if we have time, we'll take some questions. Okay? Now, the bottom line on Nun Vav Amud Beis, okay? So, Achtei D'Rami Bar Chama, you with me? Okay. So, Achtei D'Rami Bar Chama, the sister of Rami Bar Chama, Habit Nesiva Rav Ivya. She was married to Rav Ivya. Top line in the Zayman Allah. Yirka Ksubatash. She lost her Ksuba, which is something that unfortunately happens sometimes even today. People lose their Ksuba, and then you have to write another Ksuba, because the man is not allowed to remain with his wife without a Ksuba. So, Yirka Ksubatash. Atul Kami Rav Yosef. They came before Rav Yosef. Amar Luhu, Hakim Rav Yudah Shmuel. He says, Rav Yudah says in the name of Shmuel, Zu Devrei Rav Meir. In other words, this reflects the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that, that if he even makes a stipulation, which is not a legally binding stipulation, that she gets less than 200 zuz, it's the Bila Zanos, because she doesn't have smich chastash, she's going to get the money. So here, where she lost the ksuba, Even though mitzad halacha she's entitled to 200 zuz, and maybe we'll be able to go to the Beis Din and get the 200 zuz, but she doesn't have smichas tash, she doesn't feel confident she's going to get the 200 zuz. So he says here. So Shmuel says, "Zudi b'remeir about chachamim omrim. Chachamim say, 'Mashu damid ishto shtayim ishto shanim below ksuba.' That a man can stay with his wife 2 or 3 years even without a ksuba. So Mela, Rabbi Yosef seems like he was ready to paskin like no harm, no foul." So Amar Le'Abayi, so Abayi we know is the Talmud of Rav Yosef. Abayi says Rav Yosef. He says Vaha Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says that right. Shmuel says that reflects the opinion of Rav Meir. But the Chachamim say that you can keep the wife 2 or 3 years without a ksuba. But Shmuel also says halacha to Rav Meir b'gzerotav. Shmuel also says halacha follows Rav Meir b'gzerotav with his dinim derabanan and ksuba is dinim derabanan and stamela like him. So Rabbi Yosef says, "Ihati zilk tova." If that's the case, then you better go write another ksuba for her. You're going to have to write a new ksuba because she has to have confidence that she's going to get the money. And Rashi points out, let's look at the Rashi. So if you look at the fourth white line in Rashi upstairs, that's the Shodi Sheshav the Shtak Tibata. Even though the emiss is she will be, even if she'll be able to collect the money, but she doesn't have confidence that she will collect the money. The Amr, she says, when I sue for the money, Amar Prati. He's going to say, I paid you the money. Look up Gilad Zinoni. So it's Gilad Zinoni. In other words, if she doesn't have confidence that she's going to get the money for whatever reason, and if there's no written shtar, then she's afraid he's going to deny it, you know, and which he could do in Beis Din. In other words, otherwise, in other words, if it's written shtar, so if you paid it, how come shtarcha biadi my body? How come I have the shtar? If you paid it off, I would give you the shtar and then you would destroy it. But she's not confident, so it's Gilad Zinoni. So here also. Okay. So it was 30 seconds for questions. Go. For Petula. So the way we do, we always write in the Ksuba 200 zuz. Yeah, but here, so again, he would. So in other words, if you want to say anyway, yeah. But that's the same thing that what we're saying. In other words, the fact that Alpia Lakish is entitled 200 zuz. She wants to have a document that reflects the fact that she's entitled to 200 zuz. So yeah, but she doesn't have smichas das there. She doesn't feel confident that she's going to get the 200 zuz then. Okay. All right. That's going to be great for us. Okay, one second. Let me just end it. Okay, one second.